Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. I just read an article from Jim Rickards, and it was absolutely fantastic. So I wanted to go over that on a live stream so you guys can just kind of get the bullet points, but also maybe check it out yourself. So let's head right over to Zero Hedge. And this is by Rickards via dailyreckoning.com. And Rickards is saying, I've never heard so many lies. And that's a bold statement for someone like Jim, who is an OG. I mean, he was the lawyer that handled the LTCM debacle in the late 1990s. I mean, he's seen, I'm sure he was front and center with the first invasion of Iraq, with Vietnam, and with the second invasion of Iraq. And I mean, the guy's been around the block. And I don't know Jim extremely well, but I do know him. We both spoke at the New Orleans Investment Conference back in October, and just a great time. And I was going back and forth with Jim in the green room. We talked for probably about an hour in total. And obviously, we've got very similar views on a lot of topics. And it was really nice to have that back and forth. And Jim's just as sharp in person as he is in his interviews and, you know, when he's talking to the talking heads at CNBC. But let's get into this article here. And what I'm going to do is try to just go through and read a lot of it and then give you my thoughts as we go through this. So he starts off by saying that all wars are full of lies. And boy, oh boy, are we seeing that front and center today with what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, and now I'm adding the United States, because I think it's not just about Russia, Ukraine in the eyes of Russia. I think it's also about trying to take the United States down a few notches via the dollar. Moving down the article here, he says that Winston Churchill famously said, "In wartime, truth is so precious that it should always be attended by a bodyguard of lies." That's a pretty powerful quote. And, you know, the one quote that I've been saying or butchering for the last 3 weeks is the first casualty of war is truth, something to that effect. But moving down the article here, the Russian-Ukraine kinetic war and the broader U.S.-Russian economic war. That's a good way to frame it, isn't it? Very good way that Jim frames it there. Let me reread that. The Russian-Ukraine kinetic war and the broader U.S.-Russian economic war are full of more lies than any public events I've seen in my lifetime, including Vietnam, Watergate, and the Iraq war. How big are the lies? And now he talks about referencing Churchill's quote, "The bodyguard of lies." Here's the official U.S. narrative as echoed by the mainstream media. U.S. Russia's invasion of Ukraine was unprovoked. Putin's three-day blitzkrieg of Kyiv has failed. Russian forces are bogged down, and valiant Ukraine troops are putting up a powerful defense and regaining lost ground with the help of weapons from NATO. Pretty much pegs it right there. That's the mainstream narrative. In this version, Zelensky is the new Churchill, rallying patriots against an evil dictator. It's just simply they try to oversimplify it by just saying good versus evil. All of that is either entirely or mostly false. Here's the real story, according to Jim. Russia's invasion is the end result of 14 years of provocation by the West, including repeated declarations that Ukraine will join NATO, and a U.S.-backed coup in 2014 that displaced a pro-Russian president. So the more I dig into this and research it, I don't have a monopoly on truth by any stretch of the imagination, but the more real smart people far smarter than I am with a lot more experience and wisdom on the topic, it seems like most of them land right where Jim or they land in Jim's camp. I guess that's the best way to say it here. They share a lot of his views on this Russian-Ukraine and why Russia invaded Ukraine. But the bottom line here is, you know, he could be wrong on some instances and other instances, but I think the main thrust, the thrust of his argument, which I think is correct based on all the research I've done, is that although Russia is at fault here, for sure, we don't want to take the blame off them, but this isn't unprovoked. That's the main point. So Russia never planned a blitzkrieg on Kyiv. That's a Western invention intended to make Putin look like a failure. I don't know whether that's true or false as far as the Western invention intended to make Putin look like a failure, but boy, oh boy, that's sure what it seems like. Every single media spin you get, and we've been talking about this a lot on my videos, is just set up to make Putin look like a fool, or to make them look completely incompetent, or to make them look far weaker than they really are. And I think they're doing this to really encourage the public to support the United States getting involved here, not just on an economic level, but a kinetic level as well. He goes on to say, in fact, Russia is slowly and methodically taking territory in the south and east of Ukraine in order to control the seacoasts, eliminate pro-fascist elements in Mariupol, and establish pro-Russia autonomous zones in Donbas. So then he addresses this issue of Zelensky, I believe, being made out by the mainstream media in the West to be this Churchill-like figure. A full assault on Kyiv, if it ever comes, is last on the list for Russia. Ukraine may reoccupy a village here and there. They're losing ground in several cities. He lists them: Kherson, Mykolaiv, Melitopol, Mariupol, Kharkiv, Luhansk, Donetsk, and surrounding areas. Moreover, Zelensky is no Churchill. He's succeeded in presenting himself as a strong wartime leader standing up to the big bad Putin. But in reality, he's a corrupt oligarch with millions of dollars hidden offshore. His acting skills have enhanced his propaganda efforts, but it doesn't take much training to see how phony he is. Now, this is one thing, and obviously Jim knows a lot more about this stuff than I do, but I believe that all of these politicians are crooks, just like I said in the last video. Putin's a crook. Putin's a dictator. He's an authoritarian. Absolutely. But so is Biden. So is Trudeau. And so is Zelensky. It's not like you've got this one guy that's pure as the driven snow and the other person is Satan. No, they're all cut from the same cloth at the end of the day. That's my opinion. Next, Jim goes on to say, innocent civilians, including women, children, are dying under his failed leadership. Now talking about Zelensky. And Zelensky's bet is that he would have gotten support from Biden and the West. And Rickards believes that Zelensky has lost this bet. There's ample evidence from numerous sources to support this analysis. Some of the best sources from Switzerland, where military experts are infuriated that traditional Swiss neutrality has been cast aside. Most tellingly, the Pentagon leaks say the same thing. The story from inside Pentagon is that Putin is not acting recklessly, but is being patient and methodical. It also says that despite some civilian casualties, Putin is actually using a restrained approach. Furthermore, there are no signs he's preparing for use of chemical or biological weapons. So one thing that I've read there that would back up what Jim is saying is that, Putin wants to take over Ukraine, but he wants to maintain the infrastructure. So he's not going to take this blitzkrieg type of approach and just destroy everything, because then he has to rebuild it. So I'm not saying that's true or false. I am saying that it makes sense. So then he goes on to talk about the quote-unquote most severe sanctions in history. Payments in and out of Russia have been blocked, so the Western media claims. The Central Bank of Russia has been banned from the global dollar system. And again, this is where I'd probably disagree a little with Rickards, because I don't think they've really been I think this is more optics. That's you guys know my position on this, and talking to Snyder and better understanding the SWIFT messaging system and how the banks can easily get around this. And I think that's why, or one of the main reasons, you're not seeing the ruble completely collapse. You're not seeing the economy collapse, although it's getting far worse for sure. But it's not collapsing in Russia. So he says the same is true. Let's see, for the 10 large Russian banks, long list of oligarchs and Russian government officials. Accounts of Russian targets in Western banks have been frozen. Exports of critical technology, high-tech equipment to Russia have been banned, and European airspace closed. Secondary sanctions have been imposed so that if another nation like China sells goods to Russia made of U.S. tech or machines, that nation will be punished. The list goes on. Economic sanctions of this kind sound powerful when they're announced and do have some impact, but in the long run, they never work. Okay, so maybe what he was saying there is what the kind of mainstream narrative is, or what the intentions of the sanctions are. I would agree that they're not really working, and usually sanctions don't work. The only thing that sanctions do is punish the innocent people. And then Jim goes on to say, but in the long run, they never work. In the end, the costs are real, but the effects of the sanctions are nil. It's a lose-lose proposition. And he says sanctions on the oligarchs doing Putin a favor. Some losses are incurred by those whose accounts are frozen or whose businesses are handicapped, but few Russian oligarchs may lose their yachts. But guess what? Putin doesn't like the oligarchs. Okay, so I don't know anything about this. I don't really have an opinion. This is just, I would defer to Jim here. We'll hear what he has to say. We are actually doing Putin a favor by clipping the oligarchs' wings. Putin comes from military and security services, not the oligarchs. Tellingly, the strategic goals that justify the sanctions are never achieved. Yeah, I don't know. Even if the oligarchs are buddy-buddy with Putin, vice versa, I don't think. I mean, what are you going to do by taking some oligarch's yacht? I mean, it's just, again, it's just optics. It's just theatrics. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Here's probably a more powerful point. Sanctions won't stop the Ukrainian war. And just like I've been saying with, banning people that just so happen to be born in Russia, that won't stop the Ukrainian war. So why are we doing it? We're just doing it to virtue signal. And unfortunately, right now, this economic virtue signaling that the West is doing, and especially the United States, is going to come back and haunt them from a standpoint of prices rising, oil, fertilizer. We've talked about food shortages. These are things that Biden is admitting. And like we discussed in the last video, his solutions to these problems are only going to make those problems far, far worse in the future. And the administration knows this. The politicians know it, but they don't care. They don't care. They're just sitting back saying, what can I do to get people to vote for me? Oh, I have to do this. And then the person says, yeah, but if you do that, it's going to destroy the economy long term, and you're going to crush the poor and middle class. Oh, I don't care. What do I care about the poor and middle class? I just want to get reelected. This is the mindset. So then Rickards goes on to say that Putin is many moves ahead of Biden. This is how judo works. Use your enemy's power against them by avoiding the main attack, turning the tables. Putin is a judo expert in real life. Oh, I didn't know that. And he just demonstrated that he can practice it in economic warfare. The West will now be engaged in propping up the ruble after they did so much to destroy it. Now, one thing there, and I don't know if I went over this already, but it's worth mentioning, and I tweeted about this, that Biden came out maybe 4 or 5 days ago and said that because of his sanctions, or the strong sanctions or unprecedented sanctions, however he described them, This made the ruble turn to quote unquote rubble. And now we're 4 or 5 days later, and the ruble against the dollar is right back where it was prior to Russia invading Ukraine. If you need any further proof that what these politicians say is just complete BS, there you go. Okay, so going back to the article, Putin thinks many moves ahead on a chessboard while Biden is playing pin the tail on the donkey, blindfolded. Sanctions ultimately harm everyday citizens and consumers the most. Now, this I don't think is debatable. That's for sure. Inflation is surging in Russia and the United States. Absolutely agree. Because of the sanctions, but the pain on the American people's only begun. It's about to get much, much worse. This I wholeheartedly agree. U.S. consumers and investors will suffer as prices soar, growth lags, and stocks collapse. This is all unpleasant news for Western warmongers, but it's critical for investors to know what's actually going on so they don't lose money in the chaos to come. The best information is that the war in Ukraine will last longer than most expect. That's not good news. Well, this will produce supply chain disruptions and will amplify the inflation that is already present. Yeah, I think that is pretty much as close to a certain event as you can get. No certainties, only probabilities. But if this war continues long term, it's going to really exacerbate the inflation rate in the United States. And boy, oh boy, that is going to make it very difficult for the poor and middle class. And especially if the stock market goes down, if we see a decrease in asset prices, most of the other economies in the world, outside of the West really, are not dependent on asset prices. Like in Colombia, I use this as an example all the time. If the stock market went down in Colombia by 50%, no one would even know. Nobody has stocks. Like, that's just not even a thing. But in the United States, if the stock market goes down by 50%, it is catastrophic. And, you know, a good example of that is the Russian Central Bank. You know, we've heard all this talk, and I just mentioned it, about the ruble rebounding to where it was prior to the invasion. One of the main reasons they're able to prop up the ruble is because they're able to take interest rates to 20%. Okay, well, can we do that? No, we can't even take rates to 2%, let alone 20%. Why is that? Because our economy is fundamentally extremely unsound. And our economy is built on asset prices, asset bubbles, and massive and ever-increasing amounts of debt. So if this continues on, if prices go up, if interest rates go up, I mean, you know, people are talking about the Russian economy being devastated, and that may be true, but boy, oh boy, we are going to get some severe economic devastation right here in the United States as well. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. And again, if you want to check out the full article, that was on Zero Hedge. Very easy to find on their homepage. We'll see you in the next video.